This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City, and I was able to look around on the TPNW website, and you've got to go to freshwater fishing on this catfish thing. Just go to freshwater fishing, click on that, and it'll give you all the list of lakes and freshwater areas in the state, and then you click on the body of water that you're going to fish, and then it gives you a rundown of different limits on whatever fish you're looking for that may be different than what their state posting is. And like Lake Livingston for catfish, you know, blue and channels, there's no minimum length limit. The daily bag limit is 50 in any combination, and you can have no more than 5 over 30 inches or greater in length. You know, per person, you know, with that 50-inch or 50-fish bag limit. So it is different. Conroe's 25, so. But that just tells you, make sure the body of water you're fishing, you check that out before you go fish it, because they have, you know, exceptions. All right. Let's go to Captain Mike Jeffcoat now and check in with him this morning. Good morning, Mike. What's up?
Well, there ain't no wind right now. That's a plus.
No, there's not right now. And I hear they got that fire pretty well contained up your way, so that's good news, too.
Yeah, they let everybody go home. They had set up command center right here, right close to the house, about a half mile from the house, and side of 105. So went by there yesterday, and they were tearing it down. So, that's good. You know,
that could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, and you know, that was a controlled burn, but it got uncontrolled.
Got out of hand with that wind.
Yeah.
And low humidity.
I don't know.
Yep. Golly.
So, and I thought it was National Forest, but then I come find out it wasn't. It was a private. It was a timber company.
Right.
It's doing that burn, and it got out of hand. So, fortunately, nobody got hurt. So, that's a great thing.
That's a good thing.
Yep. Yeah, they had come after me.
You can't replace lives.
Yeah, they had come to me after I talked to you that morning, Thursday morning, and wanted to know if they could bring animals here to my place if they needed to. And I said, sure. But luckily, that didn't happen neither, so... Well, it's good.
Well, it's good that you're an animal lover.
Well, fortunately,
animal activist.
Yeah, I got a, you know, them boys growed up rodeoing, so we got an arena and everything here. So,
oh, yeah.
Fortunately, I have a place for them to put them if they needed to. So, but other than that, I don't know nothing. Other than I talked to one of my cousins that he went to Lake Houston last weekend after being Utah, and he found out how them old cypress stumps are.
What, did he hit one?
Oh, yeah, George Leonard unit up.
So. Oh, man.
He didn't. He did catch a few crappie, though. So he said, but it is shallow.
That's a heck of Which a price like to pay to catch some crappie, yeah. though. Yeah. Knock your lower unit off.
Yep. Yeah. So I don't know if he knocked it off. I know he tore it up. So.
Well, it's knock it, it off. Don't make it no up. Difference. It's all the same. Yeah, you got to have it all open anyway.
Yep. Yeah. So, but yeah, you just comment on them limits on Livingston. You know, Livingston's always been pretty liberal on limits on catfish. So.
Oh yeah,
I remember back in the days. What was it? Herring or Harold catfish guy. I mean, he was notorious. He had a place there on 356 coming out of Alaska that he sold catfish out of, but he provided catfish to many restaurants. You'd see him at like mid-morning, and he had a big old 20-foot extra-wide aluminum boat, and they wouldn't be 2 inches of gunnel sticking up out of the water. You'd be loaded up so much.
Boy.
Yeah, he was something else. He could catch them. And I talked to him a lot, and we talked about them ops and stuff. And he said, if you think about it, if you running trot lines, if you catch an op, he's going to be within 2 or 3 hooks of the same place he caught the last one. And that old lake got down low, and I don't remember when that was. I mean, up north, it was just the river. Them old flats and stuff on the side of the lake where they was out of the water. And you did trails across there, like cattle trails.
Right.
But what it was is where they were ops. That's where they done. They run the same pattern every day, fish, trying to feed. And when we run a few trot lines back in the day, and he was right. Generally, it was within the same hook or the hook next to it that you was going to catch that op on.
Isn't that something?
So, yeah, it's crazy. And they outlawed it, but back early Livingston days, you could run a snag line. And he knew on the edge of that river where he set them snag lines, he'd foul hook him old big hops. It was crazy.
Huh.
So,
I know my father-in-law, they were into that for a long time. They'd use live brim for bait on them big hops.
You bet.
He used to catch them. Some big ones.
Oh, you know, my daddy did too, but he didn't do it. He wasn't politically correct on catching them hops. He liked to use old Alexander Graham.
Hello there, Mr. Catfish.
Yes, sir.
Dial one up for me, son.
Yeah, it was a sight to behold. I'll tell you that.
Cranking on that telephone.
Yep, I still got it.
Do you?
My gun safe. Yep, it's in my gun safe.
I still got a water jug and a minnow bucket. Remember them old galvanized type minnow buckets from way back in the
day? You know, that's funny that you say that.
My grandpa, it's his. I mean, it's in mint condition. I was out messing around the shop yesterday, and both of them are sitting there on the shelf next to one another.
That is amazing.
He always
did that. Because I was just thinking about that.
Kind of metal aluminum little round water can with a handle on it. It holds probably a gallon and a half of water, I guess, I'd say.
Yep.
You know, with a screw-off lid, and you'd pour it.
Yeah.
Pour the water into the lid and drink out of there. I can remember it like it was yesterday when I was a little kid. My grandpa was using that water can and that minnow bucket. Good Lord.
Yep.
Up there in Groesbeck, Texas.
My daddy would take that old minnow bucket and he still have a minnow left over, come home, and he'd put a drip on the faucet outside and set that old minnow bucket under there and let that water drip on it. Keep them minnows alive.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. So, it was funny, though, because Darlene said something about, well, we need to go catch white perch and crappie. I'm sorry, I got to be correct about that.
No, I know what white perch is. That's all my mama called them. She didn't call them crappie. They were white perch. No.
Anyhow, we'd went last year, and I didn't have no minnow bucket. I just put them minnows in my live well on my boat.
Right.
But my live well, you know, it holds about 20 gallons of water.
Yeah, it's big. It's hard to catch
my bait
minnows
well,
in there.
Yeah, it's hard to catch them.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I was thinking about it. And I need to look in my shop. I think I have my daddy's old minnow bucket still.
Yep.
But if not, I told her the next time you're in Walmart, buy a minnow bucket. It will do.
So. Oh, you can buy all these fancy things like Randy Dierman uses those. What is the brand name of that? They're cool. He has like four or five of them on his boat, and he'll fill them all up with minnows and put them all over his boat and got the little aerator on it. And they're kind of like little miniature Yetis, but it's a different brand.
Right.
I could think of that, but I thought that was pretty cool. Them minnows stayed alive all day long and those things.
Well, Wild Gear is still one of my sponsors, and, you know, he's got that. I've got a 75 quart. And it's two-sided, but the one side is small, and it's a bait. It's for bait. But you got to have the air, you know. And it's got, it goes through, the aerator goes through, so you don't have to run the line to, you know, keep the lid cracked and all that. It's pretty fancy. But I didn't mind that little, my aerator had burned up, my little electric one, battery-operated one, and last year when we done that, so I had to put them in a bait well, and that wasn't no fun. So,
Engel bait cooler is what it is. I just remember.
Yeah,
Engel.
They're a cooler company too.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
No, ain't nothing cheap. So
here's a text from a listener. Ask Mike if he remembers snagging catfish below the Livingston Dam.
I don't know nothing about that. The first one I done, I snagged back there was one of them paddlefish. But yeah, that was a big deal back in the day on snagging.
Yeah,
but I remember them old long riders too. They was people that had old pontoon boats anchored up permanently, guiding off of them. You know,
yeah, slinging far as they could with their big old corks and everything to get up there where, you know, it was off limits.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
I ain't heard nothing about them paddlefish. I guess they're still back there.
I don't know.
Yeah, I snagged a big one. I caught a big one. But problem with behind that dam, you don't know where them other set of eyes are. You know, they'll set up there and with binoculars and watch what's going on down there. They can come down there or call somebody and they come get you.
Yeah, so, exactly.
You know, but back in the day, still in Livingston, nighttime, there was people who used to sneak in there and crawl over the fence and get up on them rocks behind that dam and terrorizing fish.
Oh, that was a meat haul.
God, there's unbelievable the amount of fish that it
tons of fish
by.
Came out of there.
Yeah, or still does. It's been a long time since I've been below that dam.
Yeah, in the crappie. Bob Stevenson used to call. I think he's passed on now. Gene Hansen was his name.
Yep.
Remember?
Yep, Gene Hansen.
The way he talked, it almost sounded like he was hung over every morning. You know, but good old guy, man. He gave good report to Bob all the time. Gene Hansen.
Yep.
Livingston Dam.
So, best like him strippers, you know. I got to witness them milking them strippers behind it now.
Right.
Because them strippers can't spawn on the lake.
Right.
They can't do like the white bass can do.
They can only spawn in fresh saltwater, right?
Well, it ain't that. It's just the current. And you're right, too, about the salt. But, I mean, they come right up. I mean, they go past the limits to boundary and, you know, and shock them fish up and milk them and turn them back loose. And a lot of people don't realize how big strippers are behind that dam, but they some big.
Oh, there's some toads.
And me and Dierman and somebody else, we just goofing off. We went behind the dam, unloaded, and we went south. and you happen to get lucky on them big sandbars. Them stripers was up there schooling on them sandbars. We got out on the bank, and we was throwing tiny torpedoes out, and we stroked them stripers. I mean, it was hilarious.
When I went with old Simon Cosper up there one year, it was hot, man. There wasn't a breath of wind. They were schooling on top. We were throwing super spooks at them.
Yep.
And I got tired of all them treble hooks. I just started trying stuff. And I put a Corky Fat Boy on. Oh, my gosh.
Had fun, huh?
They were nuking them. And I left a bunch with Simon. He said, man, I gotta have some of those. And I said, hey, you can have this whole box of them. I had Fat Boys and regulars. And, well, them striper were nuking those Fat Boys. That was unbelievable.
That was the only thing about them big ones, though. They ain't fit to eat.
No.
We were catching
them, you know, 8 and 9 pounders. I mean, that's fun on trout tackle. That was a blast.
Right. You bet.
That was good stuff. Some Magnum blow-ups, too, buddy.
I caught them one time. It was 4th of July. And I had my brother and, I guess, Rusty and my brother's youngest son. Because I was still guiding on Livingston then.
Yeah.
We'll go catch mass white bass. That was fish fry. I said, all right. Mm-hmm. I was right there off Pine Island on a low lump hump and catching a few white bass. I seen a bunch of seagulls, and they was just hovering kind of high.
Yeah, looking down like they do redfish on saltwater.
Yep. And I said, we need to go investigate that. And I went over there, and they was all strippers, and I mean, we don't see if it was crazy how many strippers we got.
Oh, man. Livingston's a good lake for all that, man. White bass and trout, buddy. It really is.
And catfish.
It's
it's good for everything. I mean, you can still go up there and catch them bass.
Sure you can.
You know, you just gotta know what you're doing now, but.
Well, that's with anything. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. I got to run, buddy. I'm glad the fire's out and all of you guys are okay up there. Somebody wants to call you about going to venison fishing, catching some big reds. How they get a hold of you?
832-338-9376. Catch us on the web at RJ Hunting and Fishing.
All right, buddy. You have a good one, man. Always a pleasure.
You too.
Thanks, Mike.
Same here.
See you, bud.
Later.
All right. Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live that bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand at the store. They have them on display, or if you need more info, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. While you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught guff shrimp, no farm-raised at Boyd's, and crawfish season. We're right in the middle of it, and always think of Boyd's when you think of crawfish. Not to mention their Santa Fe location, where they have a great cook over there that puts out some really mean crawfish, and their Cajun Grill next door does also. So, call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. And when you do, tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 521 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Tiki Island, Texas now and check in with Captain James Plogg. Hey, James, what's up, man?
What's up, buddy?
Not a lot. How you doing this morning?
Nah, I'm good.
Well, that's good.
checking out these people's lights. Ain't no fishing on these lights.
There's not?
No. Don't see nothing. I don't even see no little minnows. I don't see nothing. I ain't seen no fish in no lights. No way. I hadn't.
Jeff Naylor usually behind his house, you know, he turns his on. He's usually loaded with them. But this year, he hadn't had any fish under his lights. Isn't that crazy?
I don't think it's time yet, man. The bait, you're just now seeing some bait. And one light, yesterday, I saw a bunch of mullet. First time I seen that. Bunch of mullet in there underneath the lights. But there wasn't no Well, I didn't see no fish. I don't mean ain't there. I just didn't see none. I don't see none over here either. This old canal I live on, I don't think it's no good anyway. Sometimes I see them, but
that old drum runs on, man. They're catching them from way up above me all the way down past you. You know, and I remember the drum run on that shoreline I live on as a kid. Right when we had were getting out of school, we'd go fish off the piers at night, you know, with crab and stuff, and, you know, with our old bottom rigs. And, man, we used to catch them big old drum. It'd come up that west side about mid-May to early June. Golly.
Yeah, there must be a bunch of them. We were standing in trout the other day. I forget what that was. Maybe Monday or when. I don't remember what that was. Anyway, I see my guy hook a fish over there. I said, man, he's got a big red. And there, we ain't been catching no reds there, but that don't mean there ain't one. I see he's got a big red. And then he kept fooling with us. Man, I bet he's got a drum.
He got a big ugly, man.
And Kenny was standing down there with him. I hollered. I said, hey, man, what's Mike got? Or I hollered at Mike, what you got, dude? He said, man, I got a giant drum. He's fooling with that drum. He caught him about, I don't know, 30 pounds, 30, one of them giants.
Yeah, I had one of my customers one day. How do you grab these big old drum like that? I said, just like a bowling ball. Put your thumb in one eyeball and your middle finger in the other one. And then hold his head and get the hook out and let him swim off.
They are nasty, man. But the tide was the lowest I've seen it. That was the lowest of the year.
That was a flusher there, buddy. I mean, it was gone. I think that's why they called my little town I live in there on the bay called Beach City, because it's nothing but a beach after one of those blows like that, all the way to the spillway. Nothing but a beach.
Man, that was the lowest. Man, we caught them yesterday, but, buddy, we had to work at it. It wasn't for the faint of heart. I think we caught, man, what did we end up with? I think we had 22 trout and a red. We had it
yesterday.
One over. And we had
impressed.
I'll just tell you what we caught. Ain't trying to impress nobody.
Well, that low tide and after that blow, and then that south wind came back, that southeast wind.
Here's the deal.
Pretty good, man.
Everywhere I'm fishing, I'm set up for that kind of stuff. Now, granted, it was lower than it has been. I did hit something yesterday morning, too.
Uh-oh.
I didn't hear it hit the prop. I mean, because I leave in the dark, which I shouldn't have. Because I had to get on the step, like, inside of where I put in. I had to, like, get on the step in, like, a canal.
Yeah.
Because, man, I'm going to have to. And then I had one other spot that I got to get through. I said, man, I think I can do it. And it don't matter because I'm going anyway. I mean, once you're committed, man, and I felt it go, bap. And I kept going. I said, man, because Kenny went with my guys yesterday. I said, I hit something, but it didn't hit the prop. You know, you can tell when it hits the prop. I said, I think it just hit the skeg. But I got a skeg guard on it. Anytime I get a new motor, well, it's not new, but anytime I get a motor, I put a skeg guard on it before I ever leave the shop.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what saved me. Anyway, but here's what hurts, I think, Mickey, worse than anything, and is, you know, I've caught them a million times. You have too in low water. I mean, it's happened. But, man, we lost about 11 degrees of water temperature, bro. I was touching 70. On whatever day it was, the front comes whatever day it comes, Wednesday? And then, or Thursday. Thursday, we fish Wednesday. Thursday, the front comes. And then we leave yesterday in the dark, and the water was 58 degrees, man. I lost like 12 degrees of water.
Isn't that something?
I think that hurts the fishing, because where I'm fishing, it don't matter if the tide's low, they're there anyway.
Right.
We get out of the boat and they start bawling them slicks out of there. It's just breaking day. You barely see the sheen of the water. And I said, man, I'm just to pull this off. And I think we caught two. Like, man, they ain't biting. It just reeks with fish down this whole thing. And then we only caught two. Hard bait. So I'll come one on Lee Lee, maybe one on that little Yozuri bait. And then we caught everything else yesterday. On tails. It was the only bite, and we didn't lean on nothing. You get two here, you catch four there, three here, and move again. I think the last time I went back out where I started yesterday morning where all them slips was at, I said, man, let's see if they're biting. And now it's got windy, the water's dirty. And they're still, I mean, we caught six. We caught one, 4-pounder, and anyway, we caught six and maybe had about eight bites right there. And by that time, it was like 4:05, man. And I said, man, let's go. I wanted to look at something else on the way home, and my guys were done. They said, man, let's go. But, I mean, we just picked and pecked. And we did catch quite a few little ones yesterday, which I hadn't been. But it was low, buddy. And it came back, but it's still low this morning. I told Kenny, he's got to go today. I said, man, you better go over there and get your boat out. The waters are like right now, because you ain't going to get it out in the morning. See, it's gone again. It's not as low, but it's gone again.
When you mentioned Yo Zuri Lure a while ago, the first guy I thought of was Jose Wehbe.
Jose Wehbe, yeah.
Yeah, the Spanish fly. He used to chunk a bunch of that, you know, of those baits.
Well, I didn't go get it. Somebody gave me one. I said, man, I don't know about this thing. It's nice, good. I said, okay, whatever. And anyway, I caught one on one. And then I started kind of fishing with it, playing around with it. And it's pretty good. And then I got one, another color. I didn't really like that one. And it's a good reaction bite, but I caught one fish on it yesterday. But tails was king. And it was something dark, Mickey, that whatever that new Mariner we got. What's the name of that? I asked you that the other day, and I can't remember. That real dark purple
Space Dust.
That was good. A Red Bass Assassin was good. Regular old school Red Bass Assassin. And I got a little PV that's kind of like a dark amber with a bunch of gold flecks.
I got some of those. Those are cool looking.
It's a good bait.
Little PV.
But it was just a funky bite. And that's what I was telling Brent. His girlfriend fished me yesterday. I said, man, look, I don't care about no low tide. Actually, it's better. I can go anywhere. But you lose 11 degrees of water temperature, boy, and I made some monster walks back to the boat. I turned around and looked
that's a big factor, that big a drop in that short of time. It makes a difference.
Especially this time of year, Mickey. It's March the 22nd, dude. These fish are wanting to go shallow. And, man, you get zapped with, you know, 11 degree drop in water, and it still didn't get real high. And it was never like, let's go to the beach, kind of got warm yesterday, man. I never put nothing off. Dude, and the water was, I think it was 60, barely got 64 when I came in. So it didn't come up, but it was like 58, man, and it went to like 64, too. So that's, you know, all day.
Right.
And, you know, the tide's so low, anytime the wind blows, that water we're catching and fishing, it was terrible. None of it was any good. It didn't matter. But, man, you miss a lot of fish, and they're pulling off. They just ain't wanting to bite, man.
Well,
wanting to bite.
Let me bite on this break right quick, and I'll come right back.
Go ahead and nibble on that break there, buddy.
Let me do a little break nibble here. I'll be right back at you, brother. All right. Well, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. With a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery, there's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item and can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team, 100 years of combined experience, and they're here to support you from start to finish, whether it's a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction. Allied has you covered. Remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales, 281-332-6224, or sales at alliedinc.com. Spell out Inc. That's 281-332-6224. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 5:36 here in the Bayou City. Let's go back and talk some more Tiki Island with James. All right, James, we are back. What were we talking about? I already forgot.
I don't know, man. I was thinking about Man, you and I and Blaine back in the day when we were fishing Wednesday, and you know you're like in them. And remember, we used to try to figure out, hey, man, take it down. Hey, they're right on top. Hey, speed it up. We were always trying to figure out how to get them to bite.
Oh, yeah.
And I learned that from you when we all fished together when we were kids, and I still remember that like Wednesday. I said, man, I know I'm sitting in these fish, man. And then it's pretty cool when you figure out how to catch them. I was thinking about you. I was thinking about the old days. Take it down, man. They want it down. You got to pull it down.
That's what Blaine said 90% of the time. Take it down. Take it down.
Yeah, but you'd say, hey, man, speed it up. Hey, you ain't throwing far enough. Hey, man, just tickle it. And then yesterday was totally different than what it was Wednesday. Man, you kind of like it wasn't grandpa, but you had to just hold that rod straight in there and just flip it, just bam.
Yeah, that little skipping Pete Stephanie deal.
Exactly, and then let it fall.
I mean, Pete with that old rod way up in there and skipping that tail.
Same. Hey, Pete beat me so bad at Elm Grove one day. If I'd have had a hammer, I'd have hit him in the head. But that's how it was yesterday, and they would bite it. I was telling Brent, and they like to use a little bit heavier heads, and I don't ever say nothing. These guys can fish, man.
Right.
But he knows what I'm fishing with. And he ain't getting nothing right there at the end. And I said, tell him, hey, man, I put this on, I put that on. And then he started catching some fish. And we got in the boat, and I looked at him. I said, huh, put that little head on, didn't you? He just looked at me and grinned because he knows what I'm throwing. You had to take a 16-ounce head and just flip it, man. And while you're just sitting there with your rod straight in there, thump, you'd feel him bite it. But you'd miss a lot of them because you're, you know, rod straight in the air. Hey, if they ever got on Pete's technique, he would hurt your feelings. But you'd ever get Pete down before he got going.
Oh, we used to get him down three or four fish, and he'd be beating his head on the side of the boat, man.
He'd be done. Hey, we call it score tracker now. That's what we do. We keep score tracker. Yeah. What's up, Nate? I said, well, he's got this, he's got that. But because we don't keep no fish no more, you don't ever know what you catch. But we keep count of them. But we caught some pretty good fish.
You need to pile big piles of dead fish up. Three fish a person, man. That would make some good meat piles nowadays. Boy,
what a joke, man. I could kill all them fish, and I could make me a little old Facebook deal every day. But
everybody goes, man, we had our limit. We had 12 by 8 o'clock. I said, man, if I didn't get 12 on the first drift, I'd pick up.
First drift? Hey, we didn't get 12 on that first pass, and man, this sucks.
I'm out of here.
It's different, man. And Brant, he's been fishing a long time. He's a Sharpio. And remember, old man Sharpio was his grandpa. That me and you sitting there, and we used to
man. I remember I went in there one day with a catch out of the back of Fat Rat and a wind at about 40, and tides bulled up. We were standing on the bank where it was normally dry, and it was waist deep, throwing out on that little reef in that back of that cove.
Mm-hmm.
Those fish, and he said, hey, I've been down here a long time. I've never seen a pile of fish like that.
And he knew too, buddy.
Hey,
he
remember that board he had in his in the bar there at the bait shop? It had trout run for all the years, and it was always based on the tide runners coming through rollover and all that. And it was 100%. Always like May the 9th. May 17th, you know, he said, yeah, that was a late year then, but boy, when they came, it was all these big logs coming through that pass, man. And
it's almost like they trickled and then they all came at the same time.
Oh, man. Yeah. You get that little late April trickle, and all of a sudden in May, it was just a flood of huge, you know, surf runners coming in.
Hey, Shipley and Root used to call me and say, hey, P, you need to get down here.
They're coming
and
your
said,
way,
man. I said, I can't do what y'all are doing. You know, they were waiting out front, him and Root. And
we'd drown all our customers trying to do that. You'd kill them all.
Oh, you could have done it. I said, Ship, I can't do it, dude. I know him and Root, I know they caught two or three fish over 10. I know that.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to worry about that no more. Ain't rolling through there anymore.
Well, what was his name? Gary Frugier, he lives out in Chambers County out my way. He was rollover past city. He used to catch huge trout waiting there, you know, where you're talking about.
Yeah. It's just a shame that...
That broke a lot of hearts, man, when they closed that hole up, buddy.
Well, just, it never... I mean, we talk about that, Brett and I were talking about yesterday. Oh, yeah, his girlfriend, she had her three fish. And I said, how many, Chantel, she caught three right there pretty quick. And
right.
I started laughing. Oh, man, she's got her limit. But, yeah, that old man, those Stebbins and all them, Mickey, the old Beaumont people, they caught her the fish pass for a reason. I don't know. People ask me all the time, and I ain't no bile. I don't know anything. But I know one thing, it may be great for the environment, it may never erode nothing, but it ain't no good for the
erosion's
fish.
Worse now than it was. Everybody's complaining about erosion still. That didn't make a
They're still going to maintenance dredge the channel. Nothing,
that beachfront is going to erode away forever. It's been doing it since the beginning of time.
Nothing's going. If you can tell me that little hole right there is causing all that beach erosion, well, I'm going to sell you some swamp land somewhere.
Well, look at that Houston Point landmark, General Sam Houston's house. That was his homestead. It's built back in the 1850s or whenever it was. When it was built, it was 3 miles from the bay. And look at it now, the bay's in his backyard with a bulkhead.
The bay's in his... Hey, you can go to Jamaica Beach, Mickey, and you can look. I grew up there. And you can look where the old bulkheads are.
Right.
Is where they have to put bulkheads now. And so, man, that's not erosion. The island is sinking. Galveston Island, it's
well, sure
a barrier
it is.
Island.
Well, look at the subdivision I grew up in Baytown.
Yeah, it's gone. It's gone where you live.
Yeah, I mean.
It doesn't exist.
I think when Hurricane Carla hit, it was like 12 feet elevation there above sea level. And, everybody still got 8 feet of water in their homes, and a lot of people rebuilt and all that. And that's when we moved into Baytown after Carla. And, you know, that whole area just sunk. You know, the groundwater was pumped all out from underneath it, and it just kept sinking and eroding away.
We was up there this
winter. Driveways and bulkheads and everything, they're out in the bay now.
They're in the bay. We were up there this winter fishing when I was fishing up there, and we were talking about you, and we were coming through there. Coming
I used
back
to live right on the corner of Bayshore and Mapleton, right there where Crystal Bay and Scott Bay met, right there.
That's exactly what I told you. I said, look, man, Mick used to live right there. He said, where? I said, that was a subdivision. That's what he told me. He said, it's gone now.
Oh, but, great place to grow up when I was a kid. It was awesome.
But, you know, plugging that pass up back to what we're talking about, it's, you know, and the fish that are there, they grow up in that marsh. They're a little old marsh trout. I know what you catch over there. And, you know, that's why Brant comes over and fishes with me. At least here, we may be catching pencils, but you got a chance to catch a big one.
Yeah.
In my brain, I think over there, if I go over there and do that, you're going to catch the same 15, 16-inch trout that's what's there.
Right.
You know, you might catch a 3-pounder, but that's why Kelly Rising, that's why they come down here and fish with me. I mean, you know, at least we got a shot. So,
yeah, I caught
we'll
a lot of flack for some fishing from some fishermen down there on that Bolivar End when they were all for that closure. They wanted it closed up. The morning they started the project, I said, I hope y'all are all down there with your shovels helping them fill it in this morning, because you're going to regret the day it filled in.
It's not been good for the fishing, you know. The first year, everybody asked me, I said, man, look, I don't know. It's
too early to tell. I mean,
but I know now, and you know now. We actually knew then, but I didn't want to say that until I said, oh, maybe it's better. I don't know, but it's not better. It's terrible. It's terrible for the bay for the fishing.
Yeah, we paying to close them up on the upper coast, and they're paying to open them up on the lower coast.
Yeah, and you ask Cliff, he'll tell you one of the single things that make their fishing as good as it is the Packery Channel. I heard him tell you that.
You know, I was talking to Higgins yesterday. We talked for over an hour on the phone. I like old Larry. And
old Larry's a trip. He's a good
dude,
man.
He is. He's a good man. And we were talking about that. He was talking about going down to Mansfield, you know, after that freeze, you know, that last one in 21. And then a year later, man, they were catching 6 and 7 pound trout. It's because that giant, you know, pass comes in there. Their surf is full of fish and tide runners down there, and they replenish the bays for them. We don't have that luxury up here. We have to grow everything. And
that's right. Now,
we used to not have to. You remember them big trout runs, you know, in the summer when all those fish would pour through the jetties and roll over. And I remember one 4th of July on Cannon's Reef, if there wasn't 200 boats on that reef, everybody anchored up, throwing popping corks and shrimp, and everywhere I looked, everybody was netting 7-pounders. And
yep.
Those all came through the jetties and stacked up on Hannah's.
And I don't get
the
same it, man.
Thing on Deep Reef and Frenchie's Reef. All those rollover fish stacked up on those reefs.
100%. That's what Larry and I were talking about one day. I said, look, man, them knuckleheads had the same freeze we had down here.
Yeah.
It's the same, but when we got to grow them, and just like some of them places I was fishing this winter. When the freeze came, they were all dead. I saw them. I know. And then,
yeah,
and then the fish
animal.
I'm catching this year, they're 3-year-old fish. And what's pretty cool about that, because I know there was nothing here. It came from zero. Now,
right.
There's numbers. Good fishing here.
Sure.
But they're the same 3-year-old fish. Some are 2.78, some are 4.4. But they're all the same 3-year-old fish, you know?
You're right.
Pretty cool.
Well. All right, man. Well, James, you have a good weekend. It's the start of it, and it's always good talking to you. Somebody wants to call you and come down to G-Town and lace them out. How they get a hold of you, man?
All right, brother.
Lace them out, baby.
771-7306.
All right, bud.
Hey, put one of them pictures you got on there on the sicko page there. Show them what lacing them out really is.
No, man, I ain't going to do that. I'll catch too much flack over that. All right.
Yeah, well, I'll do it because I won't. All right, I'll see you later.
You got them. All right, man. Later.
Bye.
All right, let's jump the bridge and go talk Sharky this morning. Mr. Marquez, what's up, buddy?
What's up, buddy?
Not a lot,
morning,
man.
Morning, Mickey.
Y'all foaming at the bit, ready to launch and get on out of there?
Man, we're foaming, baby. We're foaming.
Out of work.
We are foaming at the bit, brother. It looks pretty good, man. I got a... Morning. Oh, hold on. It's picking you up in my truck. I gotcha.
Yeah, you're there. I heard it switched to Bluetooth.
Awesome, yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, I got an interesting one this morning, Mickey. We're going to try to make it offshore about 70 miles and mess around and
no.
do some...
Come on. Come on, man.
No, I'm serious.
Well.
Come on, man. I'm going to try.
I hope the wind forecast is wrong today.
Oh, gosh. It don't look that bad, does it?
Well, here's the Galveston. This is weather underground.
Yeah, give it to
Galveston.
Me straight.
Partly
give
cloudy,
it to me
high
straight.
73, southeast winds at 15 to 25 and higher wind gust.
No, it does not say that.
I swear to
does
you,
it
I
really?
Would not lie to you. I swear.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
well.
I hope you got a million bean bags in that boat this morning.
Oh, buddy.
Glad I'm not riding with Sharky this morning. We'll just talk about it. Call me on that new phone you got and let me know how bad it was.
Yeah, I will, man. You know what? It's going to be super windy on the shore, but from what I can see, it's, 10, 12 offshore.
Okay.
And then, he said, okay.
Yeah, I'm with you. Hey, if you can just get 20 miles offshore, it'll calm down. And then we've seen that a million times, the farther out you get, the calmer it is.
I know.
It's just that beating you got to take from the jetties to get there, man.
No, I know. And it's going to be a little bouncy, but that's the plan, Mickey. We got all the boats going out.
Hey, hardcore, man. I'm with you. You're young. You can take it. I mean,
hey,
it's
I'll
only
tell you
7
this,
to
I got,
9 at the buoy out there right now. East, southeast, 7 to 9. So
there you go. There you go. Okay. Well, that's good.
Get out there
what's
and
that
get them.
What's
and,
that buoy reading?
Then you'll have a following sea coming in.
Yeah, that's my – yeah.
That'll work.
Yeah. That sounds good. Yeah, man. I'm I'm excited, man. We've got there's not an open season for a lot of stuff, which I told my crew, when they booked this thing, I said, "Look, man, we'll get out there. We're going to catch all kinds of crazy stuff. Half the stuff we'll have to throw back and half the stuff we'll be able to bring back and so the plan is to go and do some of course, some bottom fishing.
That's what Molly.
Yeah, beeliners.
Monty, when I talked to him and Jeff last weekend, he said beeliners is the bonus right now.
Heck yeah, man. Just go out there and load the boat, you know? I mean, why not?
Go for it.
So that's the plan, man. And then I'd really like to get really, really lucky, and we're going to bust a troll, and I've got some rigged ballyhoo and stuff. We're hopefully going to make it 70, 75 out. And
right.
I mean, if we get real lucky, maybe we'll stick a sailfish or something, you know?
Yeah, you never know.
I don't know. That's the hopes.
Can't catch them in the harbor.
Yeah, that's right, brother. But, man, the yesterday morning we fished inshore. It was decent. It was okay. The from the day before's wind, the water was chocolate everywhere. But we ended up grinding out a couple fish. And the water's been so low, so all your channel spots, you know, and all your bay spots, it's been like 3 foot low. So mm-hmm. All those fish are pushed out. So anyway, it was a little bit of a grind in the morning, and that water started coming back in the afternoon, buddy. And I had a 11 and 13 year old. I went up and threw a rock anchor on the south jetty and just had them dropping straight down with live shrimp. And when I tell you, it was a smack fest. It was on fire out there, man. Those kids caught more fish in 4 hours. It was awesome, man. It was awesome.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
So it's been a good little pull here, and hopefully we can continue the fun. I bet today's gonna be insane and sure for those guys.
You ought to see these guys I'm watching on TV right now. They're trying to release a great white shark that they caught off the North Carolina coast.
And oh my gosh.
Waves keep breaking
on
them.
Yes.
He had a big old set of cable cutters there to cut the hook, and
what a cluster.
Catching a great white off the North Carolina coast.
Well,
pretty big. I don't know how big it is, but it's bigger than four or five of them put together. One old boy, he's pretty hefty.
Oh, buddy. Well, who knows, man? Maybe we'll get out there and do the same this morning. Maybe we'll go catch something crazy.
Yeah, I was
doing
research. It's there's quite a few great whites that are, you know, got tags on them in the Gulf right now. So,
man, that is nuts. That would be something. That would be something, man. Hooking into one of them bad boys.
They stay out there and don't come in the bay. I guarantee you, great whites start coming into Galveston Bay, I'm quit wade fishing. I'm done.
That's it.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, man. I'll let you get to it, brother. If somebody wants to call y'all and get down and make some memories and have a good time. I know y'all take real good care of your people. How do they get a hold of you?
We absolutely will, man. We absolutely will. Hop on our website. It's Outcast Fishing with no G, charters.com. You can check out our trip packages, pricing, and availability right there on our website. And, man, check us out at Bayside Event Center here in Galveston. We'd love to have you guys. On-site lodging, corporate events, you name it. We'll go and make some memories together. And everybody have a blessed week, brother. Sorry, I'm on the run this morning. It sounds
that's all right. Hey, it's all good. We timed that just right. Turned out perfect.
All right, stud. Looking forward to talking to you next week, man. Hopefully I got a fishing story for you.
I know you will. All right, Sharky, you be safe out there, buddy. Get them.
Take care, brother.
All right, later. Well, folks, are you looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure? Welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters. So bring your friends, your clients, let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything, from five-star lodging, skeet shooting, and sporting clays to a fully stocked bass pond. So your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. And if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups of up to 40 and host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today. Just go to RustyHookRanch.com, RustyHookRanch.com, and tell them Captain Mickey sent you.